All right, so I'm sitting in the Pleasant Stone with Patrick Collier, who is producing two shows, God help him, this Fringe, The Fantasist, which has been on tour, and a new show, The Little Soldiers, which has one of the more striking flyers. It's green and with gold lettering. They're both on at the Pleasant Stone?
No, The Little Soldiers is on at the Queen's Dome. The Fantasist is over in Underbelly Dairy Room. So I've created a rivalry with myself here.
So, Patrick, why don't you talk us through The Fantasist? It's dealing with mental health issues with bipolar.
Yeah, that's right. So The Fantasist is, first and foremost, it's a physical theatre and puppetry show. A lot of people have heard of Warhorse, and their kind of brand of very large-scale, very striking puppets. One of the guys from that helped us in the development of The Fantasist, so it's really, before we get to any of the storyline of it, it's just incredibly striking to watch and a very unusual art form, and it, I think for that reason does quite well at the Fringe. But it's quite a personal story about bipolar illness. The lead performer, her mother suffers from bipolar, so she really wanted to tell the story because it's something that's just not talked about in British culture and also in French culture where the company is from. We toured the show alongside Mental Health Awareness Week, and it was just fantastic. We got a lot of coverage for it because I think this is very much a personal story. There's not one point of the play where the word bipolar is mentioned, and it's only even suggested that this character is an institute. So it's what we do, and what we do as a company is we present a world and present somebody's personal experience without telling an audience what this is about and without trying to preach about it. And for that reason, I think a lot of people who have bipolar or who know people who have bipolar came up to us afterwards, often in tears, just saying, thank you for finally putting my experience on stage and not being pretentious about it and not talking down to people about it. So for that reason, it's with the very unusual style of theatre and the puppetry and the kind of comedy through the puppetry and the very personal subject matter, it's managed to tap into two audiences with it. So yeah, it's been an exciting tour, I think.
And The Little Soldiers is a new show. How did that one come about?
So The Little Soldiers, it's by a company called Theatre Re, and they have been, for me, just an incredible experience to see them work, and I feel very blessed to have landed this project. They are a French company as well, and they all trained at a school called the School of Corporeal Mime, and a lot of people now when they hear the word mime will think of French people in stripy suits stuck in a box and trying to climb over a wall, and it can't be further away from what this is. And what we're really trying to do is with this show is make people understand that this is what mime actually is, and it's not that stereotype. It's telling story through the body. And it's incredibly high energy, very fast paced. There's a lot of music involved, so it's not silent. The music has been nominated for an Off West End Award, and it's just beautiful to watch. It's just one solo performer who plays loads of different instruments and loops it so it sounds like an orchestra playing. So it's a real cacophony going on. The way they develop work, to answer your question, is that they literally get into a room and start with an image. They play around. It's three performers. And they just play around each other and come up with an image and think, oh, well, this image, it looks like these guys are two brothers. And then they were chasing after the girls, so it became two brothers chasing after a girl. And it just built and built and built and built until suddenly they landed on hold on a minute, this is the Cain and Abel myth. It's the Cain and Abel story. And it became two brothers fighting over a dream. And it became a fight to the death over this impossible dream, this beautiful dream. And just slowly, and I watched, I saw the very early development of the show, and I was like, holy God, where are they going to go with this? But it just developed into this incredible dreamscape, I suppose, where they just move through these kind of dream worlds, chasing this girl, chasing this ballerina through these dream worlds, until eventually they kind of fight each other over their ambition, and it's very tragic in the end. But
No spoilers,
sorry. That's grand. But what's incredible to watch about it is just watching the experience. And because everything is built through the visuals and first and foremost what this looks like and what this feels like to move in, it's just an amazing thing to watch. And for me, that school of mime, which isn't very well known, manages to walk the line between dance and theatre in a way that a lot of other physical theatres don't quite get to, and it has the meaty story. It has like something that people can hold on to, but it's also got that physical movement, visual basis as its focus and as its forefront. So for me, coming from a classical acting or a classical theatre background, seeing them work has just been an incredible experience. It's been great.
And it must be a huge challenge for you personally to be managing two such different shows, dealing with all the little headaches and hiccups that come up. We want to put this in a section dedicated to the people who produce and make possible all the theatre around us. Maybe you could talk a bit about what it is like to be here at the in the world capital of world capital of fringe theatre, trying to make two shows happen.
Sure. I do think I'm a bit insane. I would not recommend it to anybody on their first go at the Fringe. But I was here last year, and I feel like I just had the opportunity to do the two together, and I didn't want to turn it down. I think I've slept about 2-3 hours a night since I got here, so that's definitely something that you just have to deal with.
Patrick's actually sitting here with an IV drip, and it says espresso on it.
Yeah, that's my usual companion. But no, I mean, I think what's very important about that is to, for me to learn as well, to be a little bit more hands-off, in that I have two incredible teams. I've got two very good assistant producers who are young and very eager and very energetic. And me personally, I want to be on the ground handing out flyers, and I want to be going up and talking about it to people. And I have to kind of accept, okay, I can do that sometimes, but I have to let the team do it themselves. And so we just opened the Little Soldiers yesterday and had a great audience for it, quite a big audience. So I feel like I can trust them now to go and do that. And just having that, going to that step as a producer where you just begin to let things go, is difficult, but I think vital for sanity.
All right, and we do like to finish these interviews by asking, is there another show at the Fringe that you would recommend once the audience have been to see The Fantasist and The Little Soldiers? I noticed that you've got one of the seer tattoos. Cleverer than me, though, you had it put on the unhairy side of your arm. is there anything you'd recommend?
Well, I haven't seen The Seer yet, but I know the performers and I know they're fantastic, so possibly that. I think, seeing as I'm doing two shows, I think I'll recommend two others, but the people at Theatre Ad Infinitum are doing Ballad of a Burning Star in Pleasance Green Dome, and they did Transmitter Paradise last year, and I cannot wait to see that. I think it's amazing. On the other end of the spectrum, something a bit more lighthearted and a bit more funny, there's a Lecoq company called Supervault, who have developed a bit of a cult following in London, and they're doing a show called The Uncanny Valley, which is about a guy falling in love with a robot, basically, but it is just one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen. I saw a run of it in London, and I would tell people to definitely go and see that if they see anything that's funny at the Fringe.
Patrick Collier, thank you so much for speaking with Fringe Review.